Mark's such a good friend. They're such faithful pastors. Got an amazing work up in Hickory, Conover, Newton. Did I get enough cities to make it sound right? And none of that matters. You know what matters? What matters is that he's here tonight, and he's like, man, clearly the Lord's moving. And so if you're able just to sit and just receive. And if you need to sit in a chair, you can. But we just didn't want everybody to get up and suddenly, like, exit to the back of the room. Y'all would never do that anyway. And let's just receive from the Lord, okay? All right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Paul. You're amazing. Thank you, church. I want to take a moment here and speak into what I believe the Lord is doing, not just here, but is doing. If there are individuals that will listen to it in multiple locations across America and around the world, the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And I believe the Lord is saying something to us tonight, if we can grasp it. If we can hear it, and if we can lean into it in a way, maybe in a deeper way, maybe in a more intensive way than we ever have before. In July, this past July, my wife and I were in the country of Wales. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with the Welsh revival, but we were down in London, and I said, we're 3.5 hours away from Wales. We can't be this close and not go. So we hopped on a train, and we go up to the city where the Welsh revival began. Now, if you're not familiar with the Welsh revival, one of the key individuals in that move of God was a guy named Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts was a young man who was believing God, and he told his friend this. He said, do you think that the Lord could save 100,000 people in this nation? And it wasn't a large nation at the time. He was a coal miner. He, on his breaks, would go get his Bible and read. And this would happen for several years. And what I want us to understand is digging a well of revival is not about a day. It's not even about a week. Oftentimes, it is about years of going after God when you don't see anything happening. When it looks like, where is God? What is going on? Many of you in this room tonight have prayed for years and you've said, Lord, where are you? And it almost sometimes seems that God is not listening. And so he prayed for years, and then in the middle of the night, several months before this Welsh revival would break open, God would begin to encounter him from like midnight to 3 a.m. in the morning. And he would begin to have the presence of the Lord, literally, for lack of a better way to describe it, electrify his body. Night after night after night after night. Now, the type of experience doesn't matter because God has varying ways that he will encounter us. But I will tell you this. In the history of the church, every move of God that has happened has not come down. It has come through yielded people. We talk about, you know, the Holy Spirit coming down. And I know we use that terminology, But whenever God showed up on the earth, he didn't randomly come through a cloud somewhere. He came through yielded men and women who were surrendered to God. And no matter what the Lord wanted, they had come to a place where they said, it doesn't matter, Lord. I've got to have you and you alone. So then it doesn't become about the church. It doesn't become about the title. It doesn't become about the position. It doesn't become about, you know, making ourselves look good so we can be the next greatest thing on the face of the earth. It simply becomes about full surrender to Jesus Christ in whatever he wants to do and however he wants to do it. This is where Evan Roberts got to in his life. And he was listening to a man preach one night. The man said in his message, he talked about God bending us. And he got a hold of his heart. And he began to pray and he said, Lord, bend me. Why would he pray that way? Listen, you and I are wired to bend toward our flesh. To bend toward our own way, to bend toward our mind, to bend toward our purposes. He began to pray and he asked God and he said, God, I want you to bend me toward you. Lord, bend me. And so he begins to have these encounters in the middle of the night. And he went to his pastor. And he said, I want to preach. And the pastor was a little nervous about it. Okay, because he'd never heard him preach before. And he's like, I don't know that I can allow that to happen. So he said, okay, I will let you preach after the service. And anybody that shows up after church that wants to listen to you, you can preach to them. So on that particular evening, and I want to show you the picture of where this will all begin in this church building. I walked in here. I walked in this room. This is the place that the Welsh Revival began with 18 students and young adults. And he stood up, and this is what he said. It was this simple four-point message. And as he began to teach, he said these four things. Number one, this is the root of revival. I want you to understand this tonight. Every move of God has had this. And remember, when we're talking about revival, I'm not just talking about, you know, a few days together and we go back to normal. I'm talking about citywide awakenings. You know what I want? I want the presence of God to descend in a city, not just in a worship service. That's awesome. But I want the power of God to do what the power of God has done in history and descend in a city. Here was the four-point message that he preached to 18 people. Number one, repent of all known sin. This wasn't to unbelievers, this was to believers. He said, repent of all known sin, remove every doubtful habit. He said, get rid of the gray areas of your life. Number three, he said, obey the Holy Spirit promptly. When you feel him moving on your heart, obey. And number four, share Christ publicly. Repent of all known sin. Remove every doubtful habit. Obey the Holy Spirit instantly and share Christ publicly. Nobody knows who Evan Roberts was. Nobody really knew about this church. And nobody knew that 18 people were meeting there that night after church. Those four simple things. Because God was encountering a man within 6 months, 100,000 people had come to Christ in Wales. It was such a move of God. And we're not talking in church. We're talking on the street. We're talking in the coal mines. It was such a move of God that the donkeys, the coal ponies, would no longer respond to their owners because their owners stopped cursing and swearing at them and they didn't know how to respond to the owners any longer. It was this Welsh revival that would spread to Los Angeles, California in 1906 that would spark the Azusa Street revival that would literally go across America and that we are still reaping the benefits of that today. I read about the first great awakening in this country, of how a man named Jonathan Edwards was in a community. And he looked around his city. And when you read the history of this awakening in America, it was very much the same atmosphere as our cities today. He looked at the issues of the city, and the historian Winky Pratney says the teenagers of those days were the users, cruisers, and abusers. We're back here before the foundation of this nation in the colonies of America. And he came under this burden. I'm telling you something. The body of Christ in America has got to come under the same weight of awakening that is weighing on Jesus right now. God is no respecter of persons. He's looking for a people. He's looking for a church that will pay the price of a move of God that will literally descend on the streets of the cities of this nation. He's preaching a sermon as he stands up in front of his congregation. He was a brilliant theologian, but he was no charismatic preacher. He had thick glasses because he couldn't see very well. He had a monotone voice, and he manuscripted his sermons and would read in a low tone at the same pace the words that were on the page for as long as the message was that he needed to preach. He's not the guy you invite to say, hey, we want an exciting preacher, okay? But after about 15 hours of prayer the night before, while he is speaking with his thick glasses, his monotone voice, with his head down, reading a manuscript, there was so much power in the room that people were grabbing onto the chairs for fear they were going to fall off into hell. His first great awakening shook the colonies, listen to me, and it led into 1776, which was the founding of this nation. I want you to understand that revivals are never just alone by themselves. God has intentions beyond a church building because God's goal is always to touch the nation where he pours out his spirit. The history of this, you begin to read, and it kind of began to wane until you get to about 1830-ish or so. And men like Peter Cartwright and Charles Finney, and these men began to preach, and then you have what historically is known as the Second Great Awakening that literally shakes New England. The stories are told about how the power of God was so strong that when ships would be a couple of miles off the coast, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would settle all over the boat, and all of these sailors that had no knowledge of God suddenly came under the realization of their sin, and before they got to shore, they would have given their lives to Christ because the power of God was so strong. This is not the charisma of a preacher. This is not the right notes of a worship team. This is a result of people that begin to call out to God as God poured out His Spirit and did something that had never happened before. This would lead us into the Civil War. Then you have a young man in New York City named Jeremiah Lanphier, who was hired by the Dutch Reformed Church to do evangelism, but he wasn't getting a lot of success. But his own prayer life was very vibrant. And he said maybe people would want to come and have a prayer meeting. Let me be honest with you. I'd rather go to a prayer meeting than a normal church service any day of the week. We have been preached to death. We have been taught to death. We have been sung to death. And God is looking for somebody to pray a move of God into a city, into a region, and into a nation. You want to find out where the revivals of history have occurred. You find the prayer meeting, you'll find the revival. So he calls this prayer meeting. He passes out 20,000 flyers. This is now in the mid, late 1800s, and about half a dozen people show up the first day. He said, all right, well, let's try it again next week. 20 people show up. Tried it again the following week. 40 people showed up to this prayer meeting. And the following week, there is a massive stock market crash in America. And there are thousands of businessmen that are walking the streets of New York City with no food and no place to live. And again, within 6 months, there are 10,000 people a day in New York City, most of them businessmen. It is called the layman's prayer meeting or the businessman's prayer meeting. They are calling on God every day, 10,000 of them. And this would go around the country as multiple people come to Christ. It wasn't out of preaching. It was out of prayer. It wasn't out of worship. As important as those things are, it was because people began to call on the name of the Lord. Every move of God in history has happened because there was a group of people somewhere that began to cry out to God and say, God, church is not enough. Dear God, church, I've been at this 35 years. I don't care if we ever build another building. I don't care if I ever preach another sermon. I gotta have the presence of God manifesting in a city somewhere. The history of moves of God, the Scottish revival that would occur in the Hebrides Islands was so powerful with Duncan Campbell that people were literally on the road in the ditches, rolling on the ground because they were under such convicting power of the Holy Spirit because the presence of God had descended on the whole region. What would happen if there was a church in Albemarle that said, enough is enough? We're going to do church, we're going to sing, but that's not what we're after. What would happen if there was a group of people in Albemarle that said, the most important thing is that the presence of God descends over this city and something happens that has never happened in the history of this region. I'll tell you, if God can find that people, then God can find a place to settle His presence in a region, listen, that will touch a nation. Because God is never about just us. God is about the nations. But He's looking for a people. He's looking for a place. And He is looking for someone that will yield themselves to God until the Holy Spirit can come through. We do these prayer walks in Newton around the center of town. And we'll have the whole congregation there. And one evening, one of the intercessors found, it was so prophetic, they found the old well of Newton where they used to come and water the horses. I said, God, that's it. What do we need to do? We don't need to dig a brand new well. Isaac redug the wells of his father Abraham because the Philistines had plugged them up. When you owned the well, you owned the region, because the ownership of a well gave you ownership of the land. And so I believe tonight the Holy Spirit is asking us, He is inviting this church into a place of seeking His face until something so powerful happens that a church won't get the credit, a preacher won't get the credit, a person won't get the credit. We will be able to stand back and say, Jesus only, just Jesus. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. Is there anybody in the room that knows how to call on the Lord? I'm not asking you if you know how to worship. That's important. But I want to know tonight, is there anybody in this room that for the sake of the city, for the sake of the county, for the sake of the state, and ultimately for the sake of America and the nations of the world, is there anyone in this room that would stand to your feet and lift both hands to the Lord? And would you, for 10 minutes, that's not very long, church, would you begin to call out loud to Jesus? He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear them from heaven. I would forgive their sin and I would heal their land. Would you call out to Jesus right now? Come on. Come on, church. Would you let your voice ring through the halls of heaven tonight for awakening in a region, in Jesus' name?